I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
you know
I really do.
I really do.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. With me, your host, Deb Wolf. And if you happen to hear dogs barking in the background, that's because where I am is Camp Good Dog. That's right. 5 acres of doggy fun. And there's one dog in the yard right now barking and another dog in the yard. I guess they want to play with each other, but it's mealtime for one of them. So they're segregated. And you know what? If you've got dogs at home and you feed them together, that's probably not the best idea. Chances are one dog's eating more than it should and one dog's eating less than it should, or one dog's eating faster than it needs to because it feels pressure from the other one. So most of the time, most dogs, it's really a lot better idea. You can feed them at the same time, but just do it in a different area so they don't feel pressure from each other. And that's, of course, what we do here at Camp Good Dog. Even with dogs who come together and the owners say, oh, please feed them together, we'll say, can we please not? Because here they might react differently. They might cause a little battle over the food because they see other dogs or they hear other dogs or there's more at stake. So you want your animals really calm when they're eating, not stressed out at all, and no pressure to eat. My golden retriever, she would eat everybody's food. She would just go take away every kibble out of the poodle's bowls. All my poodles would be underweight and she would be like a big bowling ball, and they would probably let her do it because they don't really care about food. And if you've ever met a golden retriever, oh yes, yeah, she cares about food. So you might have different temperaments, and it might even be subtle. You might think, oh, he's just a picky eater, but actually he can hear a growl you can't hear from the other dog in a register that's not possible for the human ear to detect, telling its buddy, hey, stop eating. I'm coming over there for the leftovers. You know, there's subtle things going on. Sometimes they even do it with smells, and there's no way you're going to be able to figure that one out. So even I can't do that. So smells we can't detect, that's a tough one. Dogs are communicating all the time, and cats too, and almost none of it's through words or barks. Most of the barking and the meowing is really just for our benefit, because they think that, well, and they rightly think that we don't really understand the rest, so they have to kind of dumb it down for us and speak. How primitive they for them when they have all these subtle ways to communicate to have to actually speak. So, yeah, sometimes I think us humans, we elevate ourselves unreasonably above the animals. And today, later in the show, we're probably going to have Darlene Arden joining us. And I've asked her to come join us. She's got a book called Rover, Get Off Her Leg, and the complete Cat's Meow. So a dog book and a cat book. She has many, many books, and she's written for many magazines and done all kinds of columns. And I think when I first met her, she was with the Dog Writers Association of America. I'm not sure, but I've had her on my show a bunch, and we get to talking about dogs and cats. And so when she comes on, if you want to ask a question or if you want to ask a question now, you can definitely do that. I'll give you the numbers in just a minute. So that's later in the show. And usually every time I like to have a veterinarian on the show, but today I'm not really sure if that's going to happen. So I may end up filling it up with news and more of your pet questions. So that's good news for those of you who've been waiting for your answers. If you want to call the show and get advice, you might have a cat who doesn't use the litter box, or a dog who hates the cat, or a dog who fence runs. If that sounds familiar and you want to get rid of that noise, you could be on either side of the fence and make a difference. It might be your dog. It might be your neighbor's dog. If you've got a pet problem in your life or your neighborhood or in your house or your apartment, a dog or cat that just is bugging you, well, call the show because we can fix it today. It's really that simple. I doubt very much you're going to come up with a problem I haven't heard before. And when I have you live, it's so much easier. Because if you've already tried something I suggest, we don't end with that. You say, oh, no, I tried that. And then I give you another suggestion and another suggestion. And so we can solve your problem today. So call 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. And we can talk about all the unmentionable problems, ooh, the dogs who eat the poo and the dogs who eat the cat poo and the cats who don't poo in the right place. All that stuff's fair game on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or you can even ask me a thinking question. I love those. Why does my dog do X, Y, Z? What is my dog... Let's see, what would be a good one? Why does my dog howl when other dogs howl? Why does my dog sniff trees so much? What kind of information is he trying to get? Doesn't he know the dog peed there? Why does he spend so much time on the tree? And there's all kinds of stuff I can tell you about. What do we know about the cat purr? Oh, all kinds of stuff. You just got to ask because, you know, I'm going to pick what I feel like talking about. But if you want to steer this conversation on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, well, all you got to do is call the show. 1-888-627-6008. And you'll be talking with me, Deborah Wolf. I'm a best-selling author of a book called Good Dog, Positive Dog Training Techniques. And I let that book, the book was in 96. So recently, I kind of redid it in DVD form. And 10 of those clips are free to you. You just go to YouTube, type in Deborah Wolf, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Wolf, and dog training, and you'll be able to get free 10 clips. The most common things are on there, like come and jumping up and all those things. So I've got a few email questions coming in. I'm going to ask them for you, but I really would like you to call the show. So if you can call 1-888-627-6008, that's always better. Okay, so the first question, let me see, is why do dogs like to hump people's legs? Well, why do dogs like to hump people's legs? There's a bunch of reasons, and we had this recently, new hire out here, a guy named Drew, working as a handyman around the kennel, and in the middle of talking with someone, standing in the middle of a field, just having a conversation, all of a sudden, this dog was a little bit timid, a little bit shy, but not terribly so. Lab cross, she just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just ran over to him and started mounting his leg quite vigorously. Now, she's only about 40 pounds, and he's about 6 feet, so it wasn't a big deal to him. It was a little bit embarrassing. He didn't know what to do exactly or why this happened. A lot of times, it's overexcitement. And the dog is just really, really excited. And mounting is a kind of dominance. It's not actually part of sex so much, although it is part of the sex when dogs are mating. When dogs mount each other, especially neutered and spayed dogs, there's no reproduction in it. It's about who's the boss. That's all it is. I'm taller than you. I'm bigger than you. Now, when a dog goes up to a human leg and just does that, he is trying to dominate that person. Now, this particular nervous dog just probably decided to go for it with the new guy around. And maybe she's coming out of her shell. But, you know, how do you react? Well, you get the dog to stop, and then you get it to do something else. And this is what I say for all bad behaviors. When you've got a negative behavior, if you can just stop it and change it and then reward the new behavior, you've just taken a bad habit and made it into a good habit. And then you just give the good habit loads of attention. You give the bad habit almost no attention. And before long, you have a really good dog. So we'll talk about that a little further because coming up after the break, we're going to have Darlene Arden on with us, as promised, author of Rover Get Off Her Leg and The Complete Cat's Meow. So if you want to call the show and get your questions heard, please call 1-888-627-6008. And you can talk to me, Deborah Wolf, or Darlene Arden, or both of us. Two dog and cat trainers for the price of one today. Just call. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat meat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924. Hello, you're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deborah Wolf. If you want to see more of me, you can go to DeborahWolfOnline.com or you can always go to Camp Good Dog on Facebook and check out the dogs I take care of. So right now, we've got Darlene Arden. She's an internationally recognized award-winning writer, lecturer, and author, a certified animal behavior consultant. She specializes in dogs and cats, like you, if you've got a dog problem or a cat problem. 1-888-627-6008. You can reach us both. I think, Darlene, I think I met you when you were with Dog Writers Association of America. And
yes,
also
exactly
with the Cat Writers.
Met.
It might have been then.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, welcome to the show.
We've known each other for quite a while.
Yes, I know. Welcome to the show, Darlene.
Thank you so much. It's good to be with you.
We have, we have a lot of callers. And, but they were on the line and then the phones went dead and now we can't seem to get them back. So I don't know what their problem is.
Wherever you are, come back.
Yeah. I'm going to give the numbers again in case it was a problem. 1-888-627-6008. Because I am really curious now. Are you dog people? Are you cat people? They say cats 10 to 1 overrepresent dogs, but when I do these shows, I get way more dog questions. I think that's because people think cats can't be trained. What do you think about that, Darlene?
I think that's another one of those stupid old wives' tales that have really damaged cats' lives. I'd love to know who those old wives are. Cats are incredibly easy to train, easier than dogs, I've found. Dog people hate me when I say that. But I love both species. I'm multicultural. I like anything with a leg on each of four corners, as Betty White says. You can use operant conditioning on any animal, also any human animal. But getting back to the cats, they train very easily. The only difference is their motivation. Well, from dog to dog, motivation is different. Their motivation may be different. And once they learn something, it's much harder to get them to change than it is a dog. When they've learned to do something, that's it.
You mean like a bad habit? You mean a bad habit's harder?
In other words, if you're a cat, and the cats are nocturnal, if your cat tries to get you up at 3 in the morning to feed it, if you make the mistake of getting up, you will end up getting up every morning at 3 in the morning to feed the cat.
Yes.
They don't, and you never want to teach them to open drawers and cabinets because you'll end up keeping baby locks on everything. And they're great observational learners. They'll watch another animal doing something or watch you do something, and they've got it down in just a couple of minutes.
You know, I have a cat with extra digits, and so he basically has thumbs. He can open anything.
Right, he's polydactyl. He can do anything. He's dangerous.
It makes you realize how clever they are, because nothing, you know, you take him to the vet, when I tell them, please tie the cage, he can get it, he still gets out there. You know, now he's really mellow. He doesn't go anywhere, but he gets out, or he'll open the cage and just sit in it, just to show them, you know what, I can do this.
It's hysterically funny. Do you remember the cat that played the piano? And it played very well. It was owned by a music teacher in New Jersey. I'm sure
that's
the cat is still alive. The cat, she has two pianos, and a friend of mine, colleague, went in, made an appointment and went to see her. She wanted to find out if the cat was really playing the piano. Well, it turned out the cat was just in the apartment for every lesson that the woman had teaching children to play the piano. And the cat got up and played the piano.
Wow.
And someone in Europe wrote a concerto for the cat, having seen this on the internet. So I thought that was pretty wonderful.
You know, I was just told yesterday by someone, cats don't listen anyway. And we were having this conversation. He's been given this cat by a person who's moving and doesn't want the cat anymore. And the cat's name is Scallywag. So he wants to change the name. So he decided it would be really funny to call the cat Boo. Now, he already has a dog called Blue. So I was trying to explain to him, you know what? This is just a disaster. You've got one animal that's trained to listen. If you call another animal by the same name, not only is your cat never going to get it, he's going to think you're talking to the dog and you're just stupid, but your dog is going to stop listening to you too. It's funny, but it doesn't work in training. It's bad even to name children such similar names where they never know who you're talking to, you know? So
absolutely.
I think.
Absolutely. And it's bad to name any animal by a name that sounds like something that you're using every day.
Right. Like if your company name is Swinton and Company, you don't call the dog Swinton and drive him crazy every time you answer the phone. Swinton and Company.
Exactly.
Swinton and Company. That just teaches your animal to ignore its name. That's not what you want.
Exactly. Or teach him, your name is Good Boy. No, it's not Good Boy, because every time you say Good Boy to try to reward him, it's like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, now it has no meaning. I know. And then even when he's not good, he's being praised. The whole thing just, or people who will name their dog something like Nona or Nola. Mm-hmm. They're
Sounds
calling
like
their dog, no. You know, of course he's not going to come to the park when you're screaming the word, no, I don't think so, says the dog. All right, so 1-888-627-6008. If you've got a dog that doesn't listen or a cat that doesn't listen, or you want to tell Darlene where your cat just can't be trained, or your dog even, for me, or for Darlene, we're willing to hear your arguments, but I guarantee you we'll give you advice that will fix your problem, and you're going to have to change your mind because all dogs want to learn, and so do cats. Well, do they want to learn? They can learn. That's the trick, right, Darlene?
I think they want to learn because they're so intelligent, and people just leave them alone. And the poor cats must be doing the mental equivalent of twiddling their thumbs. They've got to be bored out of their wits, which is why they can get into trouble like a mischievous puppy.
Locked inside with nothing to do and nothing to hunt and no community, no other cats. I mean, what's a cat to do except go bananas?
Exactly. They either sleep too much at that point, or they absolutely go nuts. So they're bored. I mean, how much can you stare out the window, no matter how interesting it is? So there should be lots of environmental enrichment indoors, and use operant conditioning as part of your playtime with your cat once or twice a day for no more than 5 minutes each session, and teach your cat tricks. They've got a mind. They want to use it. I didn't have very much time when I brought Amy home because I was caregiving full time. She was 3.5 years old. Please do not ignore older cats. They're wonderful. Not everybody needs a kitten. And I taught her to weave and to spin.
Nice.
And those are canine musical freestyle steps.
Okay, you know what, Darlene? We have to go to break. I want everybody to stay tuned because when we get back from break, we're going to hear how this cat, who was not young, learned two very complicated super dog type tricks, stuff you could do on TV with a dog, stuff you could compete with a dog. Cat learned it, and maybe we'll even tell you how you can teach your cat. What do you think, Darlene? Can we do that for him?
I think we can do that. I think we can tell people that they can do a lot more with a cat than they ever dreamed possible.
Well, when I think of how my cats sometimes wind around my legs, I think we've got the basis for the zigzag walk right there.
Exactly.
They're doing it by nature. They just need to get the communication back and forth. Most cats aren't listening to us.
You're just capturing a normal, natural behavior.
Yeah, and most of our cats have learned to tune us out. So you're going to have to make yourself interesting to your cat. And we'll talk about that, too. If your cat thinks you've got nothing to say, it's long ago stopped listening. And then, yeah, maybe cats don't listen to people who've got nothing to say. But once you've got something to say, your cat's going to start listening. Okay, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back with Darlene Arden and how to teach your cat to very show-offy fancy tricks.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, Deb Wolf, and also today, Darlene Arden. Welcome back, Darlene.
Thank you, Deb. Good to be back.
Okay, so this cat, not a kitten, not particularly gifted, right? Not a genius cat selected for his incredible training prowess, right? Just a cat. You get him in your house, and you teach him fancy dog tricks. How'd that go?
Well, it was really interesting. Actually, she was a retired show cat, so she was very well socialized.
Okay.
And she'd never been in this house before, adapted so rapidly, everyone was amazed. And I started to, you know, I wanted to play with her a little, didn't have as much time as I wanted to have. And I took one of her toys on a stick. And as she would naturally go near my legs, I would just move the stick around for her to follow like a target stick, the toy. As she followed the toy, she would weave in and out of my legs. It was so much easier than training a dog, I can't begin to tell you. It was such a natural
behavior. So she took this toy she liked, and you just moved it where you wanted her to move, and she followed it, and were you talking to her?
And I told her, good kitty? Good girl.
Yeah, okay. There's. That I was waiting
you
for
know,
that.
She, at that point, she didn't even need anything more than, good girl. And
wow.
I did use a clicker with her, which is a very funny story, but after I taught her to weave, I taught her to spin. Same thing, following the toy as a target stick. And it was a little tiny, people are going to hate me for saying this, but it was already a dead animal, and it was reuse of the pelt, I guess. It was a teeny tiny piece of mink at the end of the stick.
Okay, now you are a woman worth listening to. This is what I'm talking about. Now your cat has a reason to pay attention to you, right?
Oh, I'm telling you, she's a girly girl. She was so excited to follow that mink. It was like, oh yeah. And she was spinning and weaving, and I had to go off on a business trip, and my pet sitter, who is a vet tech, I had told, you know, she weaves and she spins, and I'm sure she hears that sort of, you know, some sort of something from everybody, and it was like, yeah, sure. And
yeah.
I came home, and in absolute amazement, Mary said to me, did you know that she weaves? yeah, did you try getting her to spin, too? And she just looked at me, and her mouth dropped open. It was very funny. She just enjoyed doing it. Hey, this is fun. I get to do something. I get to be with new mama. I get to, you know, we're having fun. What's
well,
not
so
to
often,
love about
all this,
this
stuff they're doing, they're just trying to get our attention. You know, when they sit on your paper, on your
yeah.
book, or they knock things over, they're saying, hello, hello. So you kind of need to give
them
something else.
Exactly. People do not understand. They keep saying that cats are aloof and that they're solitary. No, they're solitary hunters, but they're not solitary creatures. They live in groupings. The way dogs live in a pack, cats live in a clowder. That's C-L-O-W-D-E-R, not chowder, clowder. And, well, I'm from Massachusetts. People often think I'm talking about food. And they They want to be with you. That's exactly why they're sitting on your book when you're reading, or Amy comes and sits on my keyboard. Why? Because they want your attention. They want to interrupt what you're doing. Hey, you remember me? I'm over here. I had one problem that was not really a problem. It was just bugging me.
Mm-hmm.
I would stagger out to the kitchen in the morning, and anybody who knows me knows that even hello is not going to get through to me before I've had at least one cup of coffee. So I staggered out to the kitchen to make my coffee, and I would turn to the sink, and on the left side of the sink was all of Amy's food and treats, and the right side is the human stuff, easy enough to remember even when you're sleepwalking. And every morning I would feel two eyes staring at my back. And I couldn't figure out if Amy wanted a treat, if she wanted to eat. I didn't know what the heck she wanted. So I got out the clicker. It took me a couple of seconds to load the clicker because she was so easy. Click, treat, click, treat, click, treat. Hi, I got it. And, you know, I was just going to make it one easy session that afternoon. And I had an area rug in the den. And I thought, I'm going to teach her to go to her, to the rug, go to her place when if she wants a treat. So I got out the treat and I put it down on the rug. She took it, click, treat, again, click, treat. I didn't have any more time. As I said, I was caregiving full time. So there was not enough time for another clicker session that day. We did a lot of interacting, but there was and cuddling, but there was no, you know, but by the time I'd get through getting my mother dinner, getting her ready for bed, doing all of that stuff that caregivers understand that you do when you're a sole caregiver and hands-on. The next morning, I got up, and I'm, you know, as usual, staggering out to the kitchen, and I happened to look over, and there was Amy
on the
sitting up on her carpet now, waiting for treats. Now, normally, I put her treats across the room on different levels of her cat tree and a couple in her carrier, which is open, so she'll always like the carrier, and she has to get exercise and hunt for her treats. Not so much
right,
for
that
hunt
makes
anymore,
total sense.
You know, but it's, you know, gives her mm-hmm. a little exercise. She's forced to climb. And there she was, sitting there like such a little lady. And she was executing a perfect sit that any dog person would have been proud of in obedience. And I turned nice. I said, what a good girl. You want your treats. I turned for a second to grab the bag of treats. And when I turned back, she was sitting at the foot of her cat tree as if to say, okay, I told you what I want. Now put it where it belongs.
Oh, nice one. And that's because of that thing you said where they're very stuck on the habit. So she could add something, but she couldn't get rid of the old habit of going to look in the places you always hide.
Well, she knew she wanted it there and that I would probably put it there, or else she's a better operant conditioning trainer than I am, because she had me trained to put the treats where she wanted them. But she
yes.
did what I wanted.
And now she's got a signal for
you. Needed.
I mean, that's really what happened. She now has a way to tell you it's treat time. She goes and sits on that carpet, and you are summoned.
And, you know, the funny thing is, it's always such a win-win with operant conditioning. People don't understand what you and I understand. The dog or cat thinks they're training you. You know you're training them, and everybody's happy. It's a win-win.
You know what? We're going to come back after the break, and I think we'll cover that. That'll be our last segment with you, Darlene, because I have to let you go after that and wrap up. I've got some animal news to cover. But I do want to talk about clicker training, because there have been over 1,300 searches on that in the last month, people looking for information on clicker training. So that's a lot.
That's
I mean,
good.
When you compare it to something like the searches for treats are half that. So people are really interested in clicker training. They don't know what it is. Sometimes you can buy a clicker with a book. Sometimes, I mean, if you understand the concept, you may not need the clicker. But the clicker makes it easy. It makes it easy for a whole family to be on the same page and every pet to understand what's going on. I don't use the clicker myself, but sometimes dogs who come here do. And so I use it with them if their owner wants it. It's so easy. So we'll talk about that.
It's also an event marker. It tells the animal they've done something right. When your voice may change tone, the clicker never changes the tone.
And for some people, it's easier to do. It just is. Especially for some men who don't want to express emotions in their voices. They're always neutral. So the dog has a hard time knowing when the guy's happy and when he's not happy with what the dog's doing. The clicker, he only clicks when he's happy. So it's very easy. Okay, so we'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We are talking with Darlene Arden, author of Rover, Get Off Her Leg and The Complete Cat's Meow. Meow! Okay, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that,
you know that
I really do,
I really do.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, Deborah Wolf, and I am coming to you from the rainforest where it is not raining today. It is beautiful and sunny, and the eagles are here. People are counting them, and it's just amazing out here when the sun shines. So we're going to talk about clicker training, but before we do that, Darlene, I noticed that there's a top 10 list going around of reasons pets get dumped in shelters. And, you know, they're the usual culprits, like personal problems and too many pets, this kind of thing, moving, loss of job. But really high on the list, almost always, especially in the cat category, one or two, is allergies. People are dumping their pets because of allergies. And we had an email from a lady who is not allergic to cats, but her husband's mother is, and she's pregnant. And the husband's mother, mother-in-law, is trying to say to her, get rid of the cat before the baby comes. So, Darlene, I don't want to leave this one second longer. Can we talk to these people? Should she get rid of her cat before the baby comes?
No, she should not get rid of the cat. There is no problem with it. Children who are raised around cats and dogs are less likely to grow up allergic to them because they develop an immunity. And there is no problem with it. There is also something for when the mother-in-law comes called Allerpet C that she can put on the cat after bathing the cat or just use it by itself, but you really should bathe the cat first, and it takes down the dander. So that they can coexist in the same room.
Think the mother-in-law is just doing this because of her own comfort? You don't think this has anything to do with the baby? See, I think there's something for the mother-in-law called cabin in the woods. That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, she may be using the excuse that the baby may inherit her allergy. The baby stands a much better chance of not having an allergy if they keep the cat and not dump a family member. Would they get rid of a child?
Well, you know what? I saw some research done on this, and they were looking to prove the opposite and ended up coming to the conclusion that what you say is true. If a child is raised with two or more pets in the home but beneath the age of six, they're far less likely to have asthma, respiratory issues, or allergies than if not. So it's so hard to get our heads around that because we think, oh, he's allergic, get rid of it. But it's actually the opposite. They'll develop a tolerance, an immunity. Their body will learn to recognize it as healthy and normal and not react. So I get where you're going with that. Now, what about the idea, this lady didn't mention it, but so many people, and one of the top reasons people get rid of pets is because there's a baby coming. So many people have the idea that cats are going to hurt their babies. And
this drives me nuts. In the Complete Cat's Meow, you'll see a picture of a cat in the crib with the baby or the stroller. Perfectly fine. The only thing you don't want is any weight on the baby's chest. But more than likely, the cat's going to curl up next to the baby or at the baby's feet and fall asleep. And it's going to treat the baby like its own baby. It's part of the family. There's this old wives' tale about cats steal baby's breath. No, they don't. I mean, think about it. How stupid
is
that?
It's silly.
Somebody
it's
may
like
have
black
seen
cats
a cat.
Are, you know, familiars to witches. It's just part of all this folklore.
I mean, a black cat is just a different color. Whoopee. They're gorgeous. And they're not unlucky. And in England, they're considered lucky. Now,
and Japan, too. I know.
And,
so
you
it's,
know,
and
it's possible
even it's,
somebody saw the cat sniffing the baby's breath because of the milky smell. And that was the end of it. You know, sniffing.
Or even better than that, maybe the cat was making sure the baby was breathing because the cat cares.
That's exactly,
it was totally misunderstood.
You know, and that is so true because they do care, just the way dogs adopt the babies as their own family. With dogs, you really have to watch all the time for interactions, especially when the baby starts to crawl and cry, and it can be mistaken for a wounded animal.
And I think with cats, too. I wouldn't recommend leaving the cat alone with the baby and going to another
room. I don't like any children unsupervised with animals, period. I would rather be safe than sorry. But can the baby sleep with the cat? And you're darn right.
Absolutely.
That particular picture in my book was one loaned to me by a very dear friend. And her son, who is now an adult, has always been so gentle with animals. He was
You know, I have similar pictures of my kids. There was this one cat that loved to sit right under the jolly jumper, and another cat that liked to curl up in the crib with them. And I had a blue heeler when my kids were little that just wouldn't accept, you know, they would grow up and not need assistance, not need the same level of care. And she would do things like run and throw her body underneath them. So when they were climbing off the bed, they would land on her instead of the floor. But they were tall enough, you know, and I'd have to, like, actually sit there, pull her off, get the kid to go up and down the bed a few times so she could see that the kid could do it, and then she'd stop being there landing. You know, animals really didn't care.
Poor thing. She was going to get hurt after when the kid got big enough. But,
exactly.
You know, the love is there.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have done it if
she
didn't love them. And that's another source of unconditional love. For the children, they grow up, if you teach them to be gentle, that's a wonderful learning experience for them.
And it's a safety thing.
Don't let them
pull tails. Go through life being safe with animals, and that's huge. Because there's a lot of kids who don't grow up around animals that really are acting in a way that provokes animals who aren't used to kids. So
that's exactly right.
It's good
they
to
do
be
things
comfortable.
That no animal can understand what it could have done to provoke that in a tiny human.
We have run out of time. We're going to have to just do clicker training as quick as we can. Can you do it, Darlene, in 60 seconds?
In 60 seconds, you take the clicker, and anything can be a clicker that makes a consistent sound. You click and treat and click and treat and click and treat and click and treat about half a dozen times. And then you teach it to do something that will be the default behavior, the first thing that you click on after that the dog or cat does, whether it's sit or lie down. You decide what you want it to do. And you click on that and a few times, and then you tell the word, then you add the word sit. You always tell how good, you always give a treat, and they know they're doing what you want them to do, and they'll do it consistently, and they'll offer behaviors. They'll do it a little better, sit a little straighter, lie down a little differently, so that they are showing you that they know what you want, and they can do that and more. And tell them how wonderful they are. And at the end, you end with a jackpot with a few treats and make sure they end on something they know how to do.
That was Clicker Training in 60 Seconds or Less by Darlene Arden. Thank you very much, Darlene. And I hope you'll come back again in a month or so. It's been great having you on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Thanks, Darlene.
Thank you, Deb.
Okay, take care. We'll have her back again. Stay tuned, everybody. I just got a question right now about clicker training. It looks like somebody needs me to slow that down a bit. So stay tuned and we'll explain it again on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near,
for your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deborah Wolf, deborahwolfonline.com if you want to get more old radio shows, some of which I've done with Darlene, a whole bunch. I once had her debate cats versus dogs with Professor Dr. Stan Koren, the psychology professor, and that was a good one. It won an award. It was real good. So I've got some of my best shows there on deborahwolfonline.com, and you can also check out Camp Good Dog in the Sunshine, Dogs Romping and Playing on Facebook, Camp Good Dog, if you like. But I am going to just quickly go over the clicker training. Okay, so we already got an email, live email, saying, you know, what was that? Please, can you explain that again? So what Darlene was saying was, you get the dog or cat to understand that the clicking sound of this little device that goes click, 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 or you have something that makes a noise like that. Okay, you get the dog to understand it's a good thing by just making the noise and giving it a favorite treat a bunch of times. So click, beef jerky, click, beef jerky, click, salmon, click, whatever it is your animal likes. Tiny little treat, click, bunch of times. Okay, so now it likes the sound of the click, and it thinks the click means good and the click means food. Then you get it to do something you like, and you click. If it's sit, place it in a sit, click, or wait till it sits, click, give it a treat. You do this a whole bunch. Now, you can either do the treat alongside the click as you go, or do it for when the animal's made a major breakthrough, or do it every few times. Some of that depends on your animal. If you've got an animal that's really eager to learn and really smart, then just give the food treat at the end. Use the click like this, like you would saying, good dog, good cat, good dog. But if you've got an animal that's just new to this, not that used to learning or not that into it, give the treat however much it takes to get them engaged. Eventually, you'll wean that treat out to, like you would give a kid a sticker when they've done a really great job, or they've improved on something, or they've done something new. But maybe not every time. The click, the good dog, the good cat, the click sound that says that to your pet is what's training them and praising them. Okay, so if you have any more questions about clicker training or any other training, dogs or cats, send them to me. Call me on air and we'll talk about them every week on Smart Animal Talk. So right now, I do want to get to the news. There were two terrible items in my local news. And well, the first is that a woman died. A woman was murdered by her own son. And the son is a 28-year-old Brian Whitlock, is charged with second-degree murder, and he's in custody. But the reason this is animal news is because a while back, in 2012, in the summer, this same guy, he beat with a baseball bat his own German Shepherd dog and left it in a dumpster to die. And people raised more than $74,000 to try and help this dog through the BCSPCA. And in the end, the dog died, and there was a vigil. The dog's name was Captain. And it really, really raised issues of animal cruelty and mental wellness, because it turns out this man has schizophrenia. So somehow or other, I guess because it was only a crime against an animal, he's loose and he goes and kills his own mother. Now, I'm sure possibly when he has coherent moments, he feels terrible about both things, but clearly society hasn't protected itself from this person. And even though I feel bad that he has this illness, I feel far worse for his mother and the dog. So when he beat the dog to death, he got 60 days in jail. Now he's killed his mother. And there was no reason to think that 60 days in jail, he'd come out and be a person who wasn't a danger, that he wouldn't beat another dog or a kid or his mother. There was no reason. So I really don't understand what we're thinking when we give these sentences and how we've got to step it up. Because when someone does this to an animal, it's not going to stay confined to an animal. There's so much evidence, statistics, and proof that this is like the gateway idea, where they start with animals, it's the easiest victim, and then they move on. So I think we've really got to get more active about this. But if you want to look it up, you can check that out in the news. Google it. There was another story that made the news that was also not a happy story, I'm afraid. It was also from a while back. What happened was Emma Paulson, a BC dog walker, she showed up in the news at first. We were seeing her face on local television crying and upset about these dogs that were missing and what could she do? And everybody, look for the dogs and we need your help and all this sort of stuff. But then it turned out that she knew darn well where the dogs were. She had left them in her car, in a hot car, and they'd all died. So these were customers, people who'd paid her because they were busy at work or with their children and they needed her to walk their dog. They thought they were doing a decadent thing. They thought they were paying some money to have their dog pampered. And instead, their dog was left in a hot car and died. And worse, she lied about it. She had everybody searching. And this went on and on and on. So finally, they did find the dogs. And then the evidence came out. Well, she was in court today pleading guilty. And there were animal rights activists lining the walkway and shouting in her face and texting her and calling her. And there was a big scene at the courthouse. And it's just such a horrible, negligent act. And the lying is just terrible. So I'm really glad that this is being pursued. I feel terrible for the owners. You definitely, you know, more and more you go on Craigslist and you see people willing to take care of other people's animals or walk them, or there's dog sharing. You know, oh, I don't have a dog. You have a dog. I'll walk your dog. Yeah, well, what if your dog gets hurt in this person's care? Are they going to make the right decisions? Do they know what they're doing? Are they insured? Do they even have a car to get it to the vet? Will they have enough money to pay the vet if it's an emergency? There's so many things, you know, where if you're running a proper facility that's licensed and insured, that has a reputation to take care of and has procedures like waiver forms and information forms that detail what vet you normally use, all your contact information. Okay, that's the kind of thing you get from a legitimate business, a business that cares about animals, but also its reputation, its investment. And that's what you need. Going through just, unless it's your good friend or your sister, and you know she adores your dog or cat, don't place your pet with somebody, just anybody. Because things do go wrong. You've got to check people out. Now, I'm not saying these customers didn't check her out. They probably did. But I'm sure they would say as well, be thorough when you check out a place. Go yourself. Check it out. See the person. Get references. Make sure they're operating legally and they're licensed. They're insured. Make sure they have a track record. Make sure you can talk to some of their other customers. In my business, because it's pet related, I often give veterinarians as a reference. If they don't have a veterinary reference, a vet who sent people to them that are happy with them, you don't want to use them because that's just not right. So keep your, you know, keep your critical mind operating when you interview for a boarding kennel. If the animals, when you go there, look dirty, the place stinks and nobody looks happy, walk away. There's somewhere else you can take your dog. You can take them somewhere where the animals look excited and happy and exuberant and well cared for, and the staff seem happy and friendly, and the place is clean. That's what you want. And in a dog walker, you want a good track record, a good reputation, and a good veterinary reference. Okay, everybody, we'll be back next week. And I think I'm having Dr. Stan Korn join me next week. I'm hoping. Maybe. Stay tuned. We'll find out next week. Until next week, from me, Deb Wolf, and Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, be good to your animals.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy.
And I love you,
and I love you.
And you